20 miles northwest of Tokyo lies Sayama Hills, an oasis of greenery amid one of the most densely populated areas on Earth. Here, farmland and managed forests merge with grasslands and rice paddies, forming a mosaic of habitats that has long nourished humans and wildlife alike. This cultivated landscape is called the Satoyama, a traditional Japanese agricultural system that dates back at least 3,000 years. At the system's heart lies a philosophy of coexisting in harmony with the natural world, along with the belief that active care and respect for nature can lead to one's own physical and spiritual fulfillment. This reverence runs deep through the scenes and idyllic settings of Hayao Miyazaki's arguably most iconic film, the 1988 My Neighbor Totoro. A tale for children and of childhood, My Neighbor Totoro contains little in the way of plot. There are no villains or enemies to strive against. A decade after World War II, two young sisters move into an old farmhouse with their father to be closer to their hospitalized mother. Along the way, they explore their new environment and befriend furry forest spirits called Totoros, a child's mispronunciation of the Japanese word for troll. At the forefront of Miyazaki's mind is the concern about children succumbing to modern trappings of consumer culture and virtual worlds, alienating them from nature and reality. Drawing upon his time living near Sayama Hills in the 1960s, Miyazaki renders the yesteryear setting of Totoro as both antidote and alternative to this ever-present anxiety. Here is a place free of digital distractions. Here is a world to be unlocked through play. Here is May, younger of the two sisters, left alone in the backyard while her father tends to some paperwork. The lock shot has her coming in and out of frame. There is some hopscotching, some digging, some flower picking. Tadpole watching is followed by half-hearted attempts at tadpole catching. A rusted-through bucket is fashioned into a telescope for scouting acorns, which are then collected and stashed away as prized treasures. Ahead, a pair of ghostly bunny ears spotted wading through the grass. Thrill gives way to delight and to a chase that goes from underneath the house to the nearby woods. A discovered trail leads inside the hollow of a massive camphor tree. A giant Totoro, part raccoon, part cat, and part owl, slumbers within. Miyazaki lavishes the same level of care animating each act of play as he does with May's interactions with magical forest creatures. Ordinary moments in nature, after all, can be as memorable as fantastical ones. Tired from her adventures, May curls up on Totoro's belly to take a nap. Her father later says that meeting such a king of the forest is a sign of good luck. The next day, he takes the two sisters back before the camphor tree to thank the spirits for keeping May safe. He tells them that people and trees were once the best of friends, that it was because of this tree he decided to make this place their new home.